said the goal in a way we need to accomplish Genghis Khan and Genghis Khan.
The goal? I don't think there was anything accomplished there. In reality, I don't see. All we did was stop the clock. In December 1989, we stopped the clock. We held the hands of time. We went in there. We made some noise. We killed some people. Some of ours got killed, injured, whatever. We took out a man that had no business being there. We would spend money taking care of him. We're still doing it. And he was sentenced to 40 years in prison at our expense. He still, I bet he still controls a lot of people from jail. So he's still doing it. He still has power. He still has money somewhere. But not only that, once the clock, the hands were released, what we did, we took the same Panama Defense Forces members and we gave them a new uniform. Before, it was camouflage uniforms, helmets, boots, rifles, and we took that away from them. We even paid them for the weapons. We took all that away and we said, okay, here, sign here, you're a good boy now, we're going to give you a different uniform, you're going to be a police officer. So in reality, we haven't done anything. All we did was change, put the same fleas on a different guard.
Did they change their name?
They changed their name. It was, first my first tour, it was Guardia Nacional. My second tour, it was Panama Defense Forces. And now, it was Policía Nacional, Panameño, which means Panamanian National Police. Now, during the period of 1992 to the present, the uniforms began to change again because they were wearing khaki uniforms. I knew personnel, for example, they held the rank of captain in the Panama Defense Forces. And when I saw them again at the desk cars, they were promoted to major. But it was major in the police department. It was the same person doing the same kind of job with a different uniform. He was still carrying a gun. He was still wearing a uniform. He was just known as policía, police officer. The same people that wore the same PDF uniform were wearing now a police officer uniform. And they were doing the same thing they were doing before. The harassment, the asking for money, the loafing, everything. Nothing had changed. We also gave them God knows how many new vehicles so they can patrol the streets. What do? They use the vehicles to take the girlfriends and the wives and the kids out. On a nice day, take them to the grocery store, in the police cars. Every chief, every senior officer took one of those police cars home or for their own personal use. And so the patrols out in the streets that needed the vehicles, they're using pieces of garbage, jalopies that were falling apart. They never had enough gas available. So in reality, none of the stuff actually helped. There was nothing else done, and the uniform started changing in 1992, where instead of wearing the regular khaki uniforms, then they went into a more khaki fatigue type, light green, wearing shoulder harness, using rifles, whether they were U.S. made rifles or foreign rifles. It don't matter, but they were rifles. They started using helmets. So they were showing their claws again. They were showing their teeth again to the old Panama Defense Forces tactics. Some of the names were changed for the police departments, but it was the same people with a different uniform. So in reality, I don't think we did much to change their system. They're still the same guards with a different
What was the hardest part of your mission during, I guess, the after your
tour? I guess the hardest part was my last tour, because I was then not only platoon sergeant, then became provost sergeant, so I got involved a lot more with the senior Panamanian officers and like the governor. I got the record with the governor, the mayor of the city of Cologne. I was facing the Atlantic side. I got the record one-on-one with all the senior majors, the lieutenant colonels, the chiefs of police, lawyers, the judges. I had to do all the talking in trying to keep the American soldiers safe from the environment in the city. Not only that, the amount of women that started coming on post, we had to control a lot of that. So it got involved. I got so deeply involved in politics with the people in Panama that it was getting to be kind of rough, because it was like leading a double life. I was involved in everything from a minor traffic accident to a serious court case, whether it was rape, murder, death in a traffic accident, anything that involved a military person and a Panamanian or a third world national, I had to get involved in it. And we did our job professionally. We served the community with pride, and I guess we met our goal.
Do you do anything, or do you have more time? What did you change, or you wish you could change?
If I had the power to do it, I would talk to the people of Panama, to the president, and ask them on a sealed vote, what do they want, and give it to the people. The people of Panama deserve better. The people of Panama have suffered too much for too long with too little, and they deserve a better life. Because a lot of the people in Panama are hard workers, and they don't need to live that way. The Panamanian government, just like a lot of other governments and republics, communist countries, socialist countries, or whatever you want to call them, if a good student that can make it wants to come to the U.S. and earn a good education or live out here and work and take care of the family, they will not grant them a visa or allow them to leave the country of Panama. And that hurts. And they don't deserve that. I would change that. I would go back and try to help Panama become a place where it can be called a tourist place, a place where anybody can grow equally and not have the rich continue getting richer and the poor getting poorer.
Well, Mr. Fiala, I'd like to thank you for your time and for letting me interview you. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, no. Thank you for asking me to take part in this interview. I kind of enjoy it. I like talking about Panama. Who knows? Maybe someday we'll see each other out there.
I'll take it off.